pay close heed to my every word.
On May Day, there's a flag unfurled in city streets across the world. And every bell in the city's rung, every freedom song that's yet unsung. We'll find a voice, we'll find a way to fill the air on the 1st of May. And in the storm we'll bend like the willow give, but together we will stand the wall against the wind.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 362. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Welcome back, Clay. And
Welcome. How are things?
Are you cold over there? No. I got my tea. I'm not going to say I'm never cold. When it gets really windy, and when we had the polar vortex kind of deal, the hell they call that thing.
Yeah.
One of those really windy, because we're up on like the third floor and we're up on a hill and the windows are kind of old.
Oh, like, yeah.
It gets cold.
Rattly.
Yeah. And it gets cold.
My friend Jill said something funny yesterday. She was like, I didn't sleep much last night. I thought that the tree branch outside my window was going to come crashing in and kill us.
Like in Poltergeist?
So, yeah, and I was like, in Poltergeist? That's exactly what I said, like, in Poltergeist.
Oh, man, that scared me so much as a kid.
Oh, my God, that was the scariest movie. Why were we watching that? I think we've asked that question.
Because it was, like, PG. It was PG. Like, it wasn't a...
I know, but it's still... You know what I mean? Like, fucking, yeah, but I saw The Exorcist, too, when I was, like, that age. God. You know?
I didn't see The Exorcist until I was, like, 25.
I also watched the original The Omen. For some reason, my parents just fucking watched that shit and like let us watch it. I was like five. My sister was a little older, so maybe that's how I got away with it. Like I was tailing on her, like, oh, she can handle it, and I just happened to be there or something.
Yeah, I think that's what happened to me too. Because my brother is
coattailing it.
Yeah, I was coattailing it, but then he had to after Poltergeist. He had to like talk me. Like, we slept in the same room back then because I was like, whatever. We were little kids, you know.
You were 18. Yeah.
No, I mean, how old could we have? I was probably 5 or 6 years old, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's 81 or something. So, yeah.
Right. And I think we saw it on like VHS, which was like this new thing that everybody was doing back then. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, like, there was like, I was like afraid to go to sleep because I was a little kid and my brother had to like tell me.
Fucking clown. The goddamn clown doll. Jesus.
No, it
Christ.
Was the tree. Like the tree got me. Yeah. Because I think it might have even been thunder and lightning that night. Oh, just boy. Like it was in the movie.
That's
I thought the tree was gonna come through the window. Like I really did. And my brother had to say, just think of like Charlie Brown. And just, you know, Charlie Brown, there's nothing scary about Charlie Brown. And I was like, okay, yeah, all right, I'll think of Charlie Brown.
Next time there's like something in your life that's getting you down, just think of Charlie Brown. I like that. It's good advice.
I know. I've been taking that. Well, I haven't done it lately, but for a long time, anytime I was like, kind of like, I thought I would have like a nightmare or something. Like, I think I knew the tree wasn't going to actually eat me, but I didn't want to have a bad dream about it, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I'll read a Peanuts strip. I'll read some classic Peanuts.
Yeah, I love
Charlie Brown, classic. Snoopy.
Classic.
Those are still good comics.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, anyways, it does get cold in here, but not as cold as last night. And I know I got to segue here because there's no real, it's not too many good ways to segue into crashed ice.
Red Bull's crashed ice.
Yes, which you saw on Friday and I saw yesterday, Saturday. So that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yes, and some people I sent out on our email list, one of our fans actually won a pair of tickets.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
I had to buy my tickets. No, it's okay. It was Rachel's birthday present.
And, yeah, it was super fun, right?
Yeah, it was. It was fun. I mean, it was.
It's hard to describe what it is.
Listeners. It's almost like NASCAR with people on ramps. Like, but the ramps are crazy. Like,
it's like downhill slalom, ice skating. So it's like skiing, ice skating, snowboarding, and luge all at once.
Yeah, but it's just you and skates. There's no, you know what I mean? Like, there's no
around this sled, crazy, no crazy course.
Yeah,
and there was a ton of jumps in it, and we saw some people eat it and fall down a bunch.
Oh yeah, man, it's so, I don't know. So
it was cool. They went. People. It was in Fenway Park, and it went.
Yeah,
the last part of it was from third base, and they ended right on home plate, which I thought was really cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, and then I guess I didn't. I mean, we were sitting there, and I could see that, but I guess it didn't even dawn on me. Yeah, that's home plate.
They had,
and some people were sliding into home, if you know. If you know.
They had like a red home base plate, like almost how, like, I guess how they have in hockey when there's like the red circles and stuff like under the ice. You can see
that.
It was like that. They had a home plate there.
Hey. So like it does get, because it, I mean, the races are quick. It's like a horse race in a wet almost. You know,
they
what
go
I mean?
Like 50 miles an hour.
I know. They go super fast. The races are like 10 seconds long or something.
They really are. Like,
but it's four people and they go, and it's like, and like the jumps. I love how they even call it. There's like, oh, the Star Market jump, because like Star Market was like sponsoring that. Like,
Kia and BF Goodrich and
some there was like some Sam Adams and Sam all these Adams. Local places were sponsoring this. But yeah, it's like, but like, the jumps, and like, there's a certain amount of, I mean, from what I gather from the rules, there is a certain amount, like, you're allowed to protect like your area. Like, you can't like shove the guys out of your way.
Oh yeah. Like, it's kind of like roller derby. It's like, it's less contact, but you're allowed a little bit of contact.
You're allowed to kind of like, if they're getting up in your face, you can kind of like, you know, protect your area, you know, your
personal the Wu-Tang space. Clan.
Almost. Yeah,
the Wu-Tang Clan would say, "Protect your neck."
Protect your neck. So anyway, yeah, I mean, but some guys, and sometimes when you fall, you could take out a couple people, and
You could disaster if you're in the front. You could like do a whole domino if somebody, everybody's right behind each other. Like everybody could get messed up, and then it's like the who can recover first and still get to the finish line.
Yeah, there was definitely a guy who was like in third in one race, and he just ended up like in first because the other, like, there was all kinds of like, and you got to take those corners like tight. If you take them too wide, like someone can zip right in.
We were up. It's. I always had a friend there, like photographing that.
Okay. Yeah.
I always think photography, and then I always get
photographing.
Photographing. Had a friend there, my friend Matt. He was doing stuff, and then I brought my friend Rachel.
Oh.
And I also brought Rachel to the crash dice. But we had like these media passes. We were able to go like where a second base was. It was like the Kia car that was like.
Oh yeah.
You could see it like from there. And the skaters like went right by us, but that was a part of the course where you have done some hills and jumps, and then it goes down, and then you have to like skate uphill basically.
Yeah, and then there are these weird little like steps, and it was crazy. People got really intense for the Americans.
Yeah,
because this is an international thing. There's like all sorts of countries are doing this.
What I thought was interesting was they showed the. Like the one that they had in Finland, the last one they had, and it was like on a trail, so it was more like natural. This was kind of like hockey ice, like
this is
ice crew and like coolants and stuff set up, but like they had one that was like a trail and just like rough ice, like as if people had been skiing down it, you know what I mean?
And well, they did say, I mean, like, there's no Zamboni or anything to fix, like to fix the, like, so like near the end apparently got pretty rough.
And I guess they have like, if there was like a big patch, there was a way that they had like crew there that could take care of the ice, and like there's like ice crew that has to take care of it like at the end of the night. It was only up for 2 days, well three, because I guess they did some testing on Thursday and like freestyle. They did jumps and stuff on Thursday just to like warm up the track, but it was only up for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's going to take them like a week to tear it down, apparently.
They built it from like December 16th until just the day. So they've been like working like some nights crazy, like overnight and stuff. They took out rows of seats in the bleachers so that there would be supports for the scaffolding.
Wow. Everything.
This is wild, man. This is really cool.
Big, yeah, it was pretty cool. And at the end, like when they did the finals, like we were doing the final, men's finals and women's finals. They were shooting fireworks off and stuff. Like this was like a pretty cool thing. And yeah, it was funny. There were a lot of families there and stuff, which I thought kind of funny because I'm like, God, it's freezing. I'd be so mad at really my parents.
I had so many layers on.
I probably should have worn more layers, but I did, you know, I went and got some tea at the concessions and that actually just made it better. So
we were down, there was like a tent on the field and we were down there and there was a little bar in there. I was like, okay, it's like they're selling Red Bull and stuff, obviously. And
yeah.
They had like hot cocoa, $15, like a spiked hot cocoa.
Oh, they had that out. There's a huge line for hot spiked cocoa. It's like, never mind. I'll just get my tea. But yeah, it was a great time. I think, we definitely enjoyed it. It was fun. It was cool to watch. I mean, like it's obviously something different. You know, this is a new cool thing. I love that they keep finding stuff to do in Fenway.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's cool, yeah. I went to that Jurassic Park last year, and
yeah,
that was awesome.
I mean, movies, like they'll make money; concerts. They'll find any way to make money.
Oh yeah,
the season's not going on, that's for sure.
Yeah, good concerts this year announced already. The Who's playing there.
Hmm,
be pretty awesome.
Very well,
Zach Brown Band.
Oh, he does every year, doesn't he?
Yeah, but people love that shit. And it's good. I saw his concert once. It's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Not even a huge country guy, but I like was at the show and I was like, this is really fun. Everybody's having a great time.
People really do get into that shit. I'll say that.
They love that band. Because he's like more like a rock and roll. He's like a rock and roll country guy, you know?
He's a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll.
I guess that's the one way to put it. Somebody should write a song like that.
All right, let's move on now. Enough fun and games. We have business to talk about here. We have comic books.
Still, let's go to your
at some time.
Durson's wow. Top of the stack.
Can we say that without getting in trouble? They don't do it anymore, right?
So, who?
Who used to do Top of the Stack? Word Balloon? Who used to do that?
I think we're the only ones doing it now.
Okay. We don't even really do it. We just do it. It's an homage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's an homage to them. It's not really it. You know, we're not ripping them off.
Oh, maybe it was like 11 o'clock comics.
Maybe it was. I don't remember. It's somebody that probably doesn't exist anymore, right?
Year 10, everybody. Year 10.
Oh, my God. I know. Here we are. We outlasted all of them. Or they just found better things to do.
Yeah. Daredevil number one.
But let's talk about Daredevil. This is something that I even remember when I first saw the ad, I was like, oh, another Daredevil number one. Like, this is getting ridiculous.
And I didn't trust Chip Zdarsky when initially I saw that he was going to be writing it. But I was proven wrong. Very much enjoyed. Very good comic book. Wow.
I agree. I wasn't looking forward to it either. What did Chip Zdarsky write? Oh, he did a good job on that Marvel 2-in-1 recently, but
yeah,
I don't know. I still wasn't
too much extra for me. It's a little extra.
Well, I bought like 10 issues and then I gave it a run.
Yeah.
I think they only did 14 or something. It's kind of funny. I was so close to the end.
Oh, and
he
wrote and drew like the backup story. And this is not like us really talking about the comic, but yeah, like he wrote and drew a little backup story for a couple pages, which I thought was cool. Yeah. He's a pretty awesome artist.
Well, he is. He's a good artist. But I didn't, you know, he's a very good writer here. Well, he did a good job with this. And here's, so here's, this is spinning off the thing that we just talked about for the last several weeks with the Man Without Fear.
Which
the Daredevil is, no, he did not write, yes. But Daredevil is, well, Matt Murdock is back, but he's still kind of like in pain. He's popping some pain pills.
And isn't it like the classic thing, like the last Daredevil writer, like, sets up the next guy with some
fucked up situation. You're going to really, yeah, good luck with this.
In this one, like, at least he's sort of back at status quo, but he's trying to heal, and he's like,
right.
You know, he's not exactly 100% mentally either.
Right. Yeah, but he hooks up with this chick. That's just, you know, hey, good for him. Yeah, he's had some bad luck with women, you know, so good for him. She's got like a fetish for blind guys or something. Like, I don't know.
No, that's not.
Whatever. So meanwhile, like.
If the fetish was for his muscles.
Oh, that's.
Word balloon.
So anyway, yeah, the cops are kind of chasing after him. This is kind of a story that goes.
They introduced that. I don't know. Maybe is that a new cop?
I don't know. I feel like he's been around, but I could.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's like, you know, the Mayor Fisk has said that all the vigilantes need to be rounded up and blah blah blah. He thinks that Daredevil just beats on guys because he likes it, but they keep flashing back to like Matt Murdock as a kid talking to the priests, whatever. But what happened was, like, yeah, there was like a robbery that Daredevil was trying to stop. He actually. Daredevil kind of got beat up because he's not back to 100%, as you said.
Yeah, he misses a key punch. You gotta get him right across the jaw. How careless, how arrogant of me. That's my Matt Murdock.
That was good. That was good. But he does kind of like, he starts a fire in this, like, so like, you know, this property damage, this stuff is, and this is why this cop is after him. He's like, this guy, you know, he's bad news. He's just trying to kill people and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah. And the guy that he fought had ended up dying.
Like he hit one of the three robbers too hard in the head or something.
Yeah.
So he heard it over the police radio.
Yeah. And of course, Mayor Fisk is like, yeah, Daredevil. So here's what I'm going to say about this book. And this is what really I enjoyed about it. Because lately, Marvel's been doing a lot. Every time there's like a new number one, it's like, oh, we're going to do something really different. Like Doctor Strange, number one, he goes into space or whatever. You know what I mean?
He's the Herald of Galactus now. Or
yeah, now he's becoming the Herald of Galactus. They did the same thing with Iron Man a few years ago. Oh, yeah, Iron Man.
Everybody always gets
in space.
A chance to be the Herald of Galactus, at least
once. It seems like it, yeah. And every new number one has to be this huge change
in
when
space.
Nothing really changes. Or like even the War Machine thing, which was cool, like the Punisher War Machine, which was a great storyline, but there was like this huge, big, different thing for the Punisher. Oh, and it was great. It was great.
I know what you mean. Like they have,
but
to
this was just this is
over.
Kind of getting back to just this is just normal Daredevil. This is just like,
and I feel classic. Like I feel like this is totally a compliment, but I don't really know how to say it. Like if you think of the Netflix TV show version of the character, like that gets to the true essence of the character.
Oh,
and also like I feel like this is reflective, like. Like Zdarsky, like, is influenced by the show too. So, like, I feel like even reading that Man Without Fear thing, I felt like I was like, I can see how I just finished season three of Daredevil, and you know, like, that this is the comic of the same person. You know?
Yeah, it is.
Those circumstances are a little bit different with Mayor Fisk or whatever, but like, it's very similar.
It's very similar. Yeah, the tone and like the attitude, and just like the idea that he's wrestling with these. You know, these things, these sort of real things. It's not like he's just like, well,
classic
time to go out and fight the bad guys now. Him being, and then
being Catholic and, you know, all the confessions. And like that goes back to Kevin Smith's Daredevil, which I was just looking at on the shelf right there. And I was like, I think I should read that.
Yeah, this is classic Daredevil. And that's what I like. It wasn't like Daredevil in space. Like, it,
yeah,
it was real. It was like, this is what he should be. He's down to earth.
I think that's what you get from Charles Soule too. Like, I don't like him on every character, but when he gets a character right, like the Darth Vader and stuff, like,
yeah, it's just
awesome. But then some other books he writes, I'm like, yeah, this isn't that great. But Sadarsky's he's off to a great fucking start here, man. And I don't see it going downhill. He's probably just gonna keep like going into different old Daredevil tropes and stuff. Well, it's awesome.
We'll see. The art was fantastic.
As we were texting,
Marco Cicchetto.
Yeah.
Whatever, is that how you pronounce? However you pronounce his name. Sorry, Marco, if I screwed it up.
I think that's very close. If not it.
Cicchetto. He's like a Cheeto. Sorry.
But as I mentioned, the backup story was worth mentioning to you. Like he's just swinging around on patrol, and then you overhear somebody that maybe has kidnapped somebody, but you only hear through like this guy's cell phone conversation what he's saying. And he did a good job, like as an artist, of drawing like the radar kind of vision thing. That's fucking awesome. So like this guy gets Daredevil. He understands what's happening.
Well, that's kind of what it looked like when Wade and Samney run with that kind of.
I think
like,
that's the like the radar sense how they do it now.
Yeah, that's just the.
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on the artist. They could probably do whatever they want.
Yeah, but I think maybe he just liked it. I don't know, but yeah, it's very cool.
It was an oversized issue, I think, because you had the backup and it was $5. But hey, worth every penny.
No, it's true.
Do you have any David Mack covers or anything for you?
No.
I got a painted cover. It's probably just the regular cover, I guess.
Yeah, this is just the regular cover, I think, with him front. Who is this cover? I don't actually know. This is an interesting...
I remember looking for
credits the... page. It just lists a bunch of names. It doesn't say who does what.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, except at the top. Oh, I guess it does. It's just hard to read.
It's in very dark. Are you in like a dark room? I am.
It's like the red over red. Yeah, the red on red.
Julian Totino Tedesco.
Yeah, there apparently were variants.
Very well.
Alex Maleev. That probably was a good one. But
I'm sure we're going to talk about a couple other books like Old Man Quill. But can I? Can I bring the mood down a little bit and tell you about a new G.I. Joe comic that I read?
Is that bringing the mood down because it's not good or because...
It's because it's not good. And G.I. Joe redeems itself because the Larry Hama story that's continuing on in there was fine and made me forget about this one that I'm going to talk about. Which is G.I. Joe Sierra Muerte, and it's written and drawn by Michael Fife, who's like an indie comics kind of guy. He worked on something called Copra, and he's like one of those people that like kickstarts like indie comics and is really great at it, and people love him and stuff. But this was like juvenile art, but like on purpose. You know what I mean? It's like he wants it to look like that. And it was like just a fan fiction, like as if I were, it's like it crammed all of Larry Hama's stuff into just one issue. Like everything was like some joke about the grape soda and chocolate donuts. And like, you know, it was like fan fiction. It was like a cheap ripoff of what is cool about G.I. Joe. But the last time I was talking to Tim Finn over at Hub Comics, and there was another guy that was doing like an artsy, G.I. Joe comic. The guy that was on our show.
Okay. Which guy?
He did the G.I. Joe Transformers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. I don't remember people's names.
Well, anyways, he was like, that's not for us. He's like, Real American Hero is for us, the older fans.
The old school fan, right.
This is this book and that other book are for, like, indie comics collectors to be like, oh, cool, like, look what they did with G.I.
Joe. I'm going to buy everybody. Yeah, like, I'm going to, yeah. That's weird, though, because how many, I feel like most G.I. Joe fans are you. You know what I mean? Like, if you're buying it, if you're buying G.I. Joe, you're buying it because you've always loved G.I. Joe. You're not buying it for, like, and kind of like, oh, look, they did a weird twist on it now, like, or whatever.
I know, yeah. It's like, funny. Really, like, it bums me out. I mean, I bought it and stuff, and it's just not my G.I. Joe, the hashtag.
Yeah, I hear you. Hashtag not my G.I.
It just, oh, it's just like,
it's Yo-Jo, not my
And I've
Joe.
Read that guy's, I've read that guy's stuff before, and it's cool as indie comics, but I just don't want to mix the two things together. I actually respect him as an artist and a writer, but, like, I just don't like that he came into the special little thing that I had and tried to, you know, fancy it up with some highbrow, you know, ironic comic books.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Since
does
the
that
mood
make
is
it
down,
sound, does that make it sound like I'm so negative about?
No, I do it all the time. I don't know. I mean, if you're negative, then I'm negative. Since we're already talking negative, I got a bad comic that I can talk about. Do you want to hear about this one?
Yeah, sure.
So they're doing this shit with X-Men.
Okay, yes, yes.
And
since kicked all of those skanks to the curb.
This one is going right. So they're like relaunching everything. Now they're doing this Age of X-Men thing, which is very similar to the Age of Apocalypse, but actually completely,
even the logo kind of looks like it.
Yeah, but it's actually kind of different because now everything is wonderful. It's not like bad. Like everything is like, it's like this utopia or whatever. So I bought this book, Marvelous X-Men, number one.
Oh boy.
And oh my God. So first of all, they kind of throw you because Phil Noto does the cover, but he doesn't do the interior.
He's the best.
Yeah. But the interior is done by a child.
That's
what the
G.I. Joe looked like. It was drawn by a child.
Yeah, like this, the artwork in this is really not professional. And I'm not saying this, I mean, this is our show and this is comics and this is kind of what you do. And I can't draw, but this artwork looks like this guy has no business working in comics. Like, he's really bad. There are way better artists out there. And you put this guy on a new X-Men book. Like, how do you find, like, where did they, is he somebody's nephew? What the hell? Like, it's terrible. It's really flat. Everybody's really, like, blocky. Like, there's no real, like, detail to it. And anyways, and there's this dumb thing. Like, everybody's kind of, like, just like, they spend half the issue fighting a forest fire.
Oh, boy.
That's it. That's like, most of the issue. Because there's no villains, because everything is wonderful. And everybody loves the X-Men. And they're like, this is what we do now. We help people and stuff. So, and then like, but there's like, you know, there's little cracks in the surface. And there are people who are like, because they do this thing where like mutants don't breed, but they grow babies in pods. I don't know, like sort of, I don't know how, they don't really explain it. But like, they're not allowed to like fall in love and have sex and babies. Like they grow, and X-Man, Nate Gray is like, no, we've evolved beyond that stuff now. We're just perpetuating the species this way, you know, whatever. But then people
do some alternate.
Yeah, it's like an alternate universe. This is the Age of X-Men.
So confusing.
Yeah, it's really stupid, and I'm not buying this anymore. It's really bad.
Kick it right to the curb, man.
Kick it. I figured I'd try issue one, whatever. I kind of had a feeling. Like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but you never know. And I'm like, oh, but it's just drawn so badly, I can't. Even if it was good, I think I would have a hard time reading it. But it's not that good. It's stupid. So.
Well, let's go.
Yeah, let's bring it back up. Bring it back up. There was a good X-Men comic. I just want to talk about this for a minute.
Sure.
Because this new Uncanny X-Men is starting a new, like, you know, era here in the real world where all the X-Men are gone, most of them. So there's this new thing. I actually bought, and I think you'd be proud of me because I bought the Liefeld variant.
I didn't even love
Liefeld, you know, like back in the day, but I flipped through this and I was flipping through the covers, as you know, looking for the good bread.
Oh, I had showed up late yesterday to pick up the comics, as you know, on Saturday before the podcast gets recorded on Sunday. Late for me. And I had some real good bread I needed to sift to because everybody had picked up Daredevil number one and put it back on the shelf. And it was the front one was beat up and fucking bent to shit.
Oh,
I was like, well, I'm not getting that one. I'm going to reach back in there, get the good bread. And I'm pretty happy with the copy I have.
Yeah, well, I was pretty happy with this good bread of Uncanny X-Men number 11. It's a thick book. This book is really, it's a very steep cover price, but it was pretty cool. So what they're doing here is they're sort of telling the story of what happened after the X-Men all disappeared, but Cyclops is still around. So Cyclops is trying to find people. And he's going around and like everybody's all like, hey, you're a bad guy now. And he's like, no, wait, no, I'm okay. So he's trying to he runs into like Jamie Madrox, who I always like, whatever. Anyway, and then he runs into like Captain America. He goes to this rally where he's trying to like this like anti-mutant rally. And he's trying to be like, hey, no, we're good. And he says, if there are any mutants left, come meet me. Like, and he, you know, you know where, and it's at like the remains of the X mansion, which is just gone. It's a hole in the ground. And then all these villains show up and they go, what are you, stupid? Like, he didn't think we were going to. And then Wolverine comes out of nowhere and Cyclops and Wolverine fight them all off. And it's pretty cool. So then the second part is what led Wolverine to that point. So it's like the same kind of story, the same timeline, but it's Wolverine's perspective. And how he came to find Cyclops and then they, you know, and then helped him out. So that was pretty cool. And it's a different artist and everything like that on the Wolverine part.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then there's another little backstory here with this mutant called Blindfold who was helping Wolverine throughout that part.
Yeah.
And then she died. Oh, that was kind of sad, but yeah. But I mean, it's pretty interesting and, I don't know. I was into it.
Oh, very well. I like that.
Yeah. It's weird. I was into two comics.
I don't know if you seem like a little hot and cold on X-23. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, this one was pretty good. I enjoyed this.
Good, right?
Yeah, I had been a little cold lately. Yeah.
Things are really heating up with this. They have a cyborg sister clone. That's more robot than not and is made out of something that's not adamantium. And it turns out her DNA is a little messed up. So she's just not as strong as Lara or.
And she doesn't heal the way that they do.
Right. Yeah. And Beast is, and I always like Beast doing science stuff. He's the one running the tests and seeing what's.
Yeah. And he's like.
And tither.
To there, and he's always telling Gabby, like, no, don't do this. And then she's like, well, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know. It's got a cuteness factor that I can't deny. It's just, you read it, and you're like, oh, this is kind of cute. And I do like Gabby. She's badass. She's a cool, like, little kid. She's like the new Jubilee, you know?
Yeah, I think she's way cooler than Jubilee, right?
She's cooler than Jubilee, but when Jubilee was hanging out with Logan in the 90s with Jim Lee X-Men, I was like, this is cool. Like, look at this little teenage girl hanging out with the big boys.
Well, I like her Golden Girls references and everything that Gabby makes here. She is pretty, it is pretty funny.
And that thing, it's like, no, you like kept talking like with your inner mouth.
Yeah. She's like, you know, I can still hear you.
Because they have like the ear comms in.
Yeah. She's like, these things don't really hang up. I think you just stop talking.
I'm hanging up. Yeah. No, we're not supposed to stop talking.
Yeah. I don't think we hang up. She's like, I heard you say that.
And the whole time, like, Gabby's like, yeah, I want to be friends with this clone robot. And everyone's, skeptical.
Yeah. Beast is like, no, it's just, it could be dangerous.
Yeah, so and then they name her or she names herself or reveals what her name is. It's
Tooks or something like that.
Tooks,
whatever. But I like it. She says it's going to be like Blanche and Dorothy with claws. Because she was singing the Golden Girls theme earlier and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I like this one. Lately, I was getting a little like, oh, God, this book is the same thing. Nothing happens. But this one's fun. This
kind
is a fun
build
book.
Up to this. So
yeah. It was just fun. You're right. I mean, it's
just fun.
It's just fun. That's what I like about it. It's fun. Sometimes comics can just be fun.
They can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you read The Old Man Quill?
Yeah, I read The Old Man Quill.
Are you into it?
I was okay with it. I was fine. It wasn't like it didn't blow me away, but right. It was okay. I mean, I'm curious to see where it will go. Here's my problem. We already know that his family is dead. Like that his family was killed. Like I thought it would have been nice to kind of build up to that. Like, Quill? I mean, I guess we still don't know why everyone hates him. Like Rocket and Gamora and
I think Drax. It's just as simple as he had abandoned them and went and started a family. I think that's it.
Now, they allude to something here that he missed while he was after he had abandoned them. I'm sure we'll find it out. But I don't know. I don't know. It would have been cooler if they kind of revealed these details a little later, but that's all right. I don't because they make he makes it seem like obviously he hasn't seen these guys in a long, long time.
Right.
But we don't know how long it's been. We have no indication of what. Whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean?
But then he arrives, you know, in the wastelands.
Yeah, like he goes right to Earth. Right in the middle of the Old Man Logan, like, sort of storyline as they're building, like, the Mount Rushmore, where that's all Dr. Doom or whatever, right? I mean, so.
I like this side effect of whatever Secret War or whatever it was that created this universe here.
I think it was just created. I don't think it was any kind of event. I think it was just Miller just going, let's do this.
Right. They did tie it into some stuff when they did that.
They ended up tying it into the Secret War because they tied like every alternate reality into that. But that was around like for a long time. But yeah, it's cool. They're getting some mileage out of it between Old Man Hawkeye and now Old Man Quill. And
I don't think I would have expected Quill to be the next one in the series, but
cool. It's different. It's cool. You know. Yeah. It works. I'll keep buying. I'm not going to kick it to the curb. I'm curious.
No, you're going to buy it.
I'm curious enough to find out where it's going to go. You know,
I guarantee you didn't get this other book I'm about to talk about. Star Wars, Age of Republic, Anakin Skywalker, number one.
You're right. I did not.
Photo cover.
Oh, geez.
Of Jedi Anakin.
Like with the, like Attack of the Clones. Oh man, yeah, the braid and everything.
So, but this was cool. It was kind of like a Clone Wars episode, I guess you'd say. You know, it could happen then. So he's a Jedi, but he's taking orders. And he ends up freeing some slaves and proving himself that. To Obi-Wan and to this was it the Empire back then? The guy has an Empire.
No, I don't think they established it. They were the
blue and red buttons. He's like right before the Empire, but
it was like the Trade Federation Federation guy. The separatists.
Anakin goes out. Yeah, he goes out against direct orders because he's like, there's innocent people down there building the droids in the droid factory, and the commander's like, no, they're not. They're just they have free will. Like they they want to work and build the droids. They can do it themselves. Oh. And he goes down there and he finds out that actually they're enslaved and building the droids.
I see.
So he goes down there and like he frees the slaves and kind of like empowers them. You know, like he's like throws them all the guns. You know, like let's get out of here. And you know, he leads the charge out of there, and then he's commended by both Obi-Wan and the commander at the end.
Well done, Anakin.
Well done. We wouldn't have done it that way. But
you saved these people.
Sent the Force and you freed the slaves. Because he remembers, I don't know if I need to remind you, but there's a flashback in here that whereas he remembers what it was like when he was a little slave boy.
He was a slave, right? Which always bothered me. And I've probably said this 100 times on this podcast, but it always bothered me in Phantom Menace. Qui-Gon Jinn says, well, I didn't come here to free slaves. It's like, what? Like, well, yeah, you didn't come here to do it, but you could still do it. Like, no, he just blows it off.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. He's like, I'll free Anakin because... You know, with this stupid wager thing. Why doesn't he just, like, kill stupid Watto or whatever?
Yeah.
And, like, free him. Like,
yeah, why doesn't he?
Why would you let slavery exist if you could do something about it? I did not come here to free slaves. Ah, like, that kills. That would have been a whole different movie. You know, if, like, there was, like, a big fight. And like Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon are like fighting against the whoever enslaved these people.
Right.
Oh my God. Makes me so mad. Even
God, you 20, hate
20 years later, I'm still mad about that.
Well, you would if you wanted to look kindly upon Anakin Skywalker, Anakin Skywalker, and, Star Wars Age of Republic number 1 variant edition is probably still at your comic book shop.
Yeah, and I can actually
probably
see him.
Still there. Probably
I can actually see there. Him free slave.
Yes.
Finally. Thank God. So, I wanted to say thank you for pointing out. I got to throw my Captain Marvel news out there. For the week.
Oh, yes.
You pointed me to their website. The movie's official website is like a 90s, like...
GeoCities, like...
Yeah.
Alta Vista page.
Like, it's got, like, everything is, like, flashing. Like, there's...
and
like,
there's a counter on it. And, yeah.
It's amazing. It's so cool. Like... It's so weird to me that
they have a scroller human, like hot or not thing, and it tells you like is this person a scroller or is it a human, and you can play a little game, and it tells you if you're right or not.
No, it's awesome. So amazing. So yeah, because the movie takes place in like the 90s, we have 90s websites.
Oh, and I tried to make the trailer bigger, but I couldn't. Like, it just stays small. Like when video used to be that small on the internet.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's so weird to me that, like, I mean, I know websites, it seems like we've already gone retro, you know, it's like something that is, I feel like it hasn't even been around that long. Of course it has, it's been around more than 20 years, but like, you're like, oh, now they're already going retro. But it's funny. Anyway, it's hilarious. Like, it's such a funny.
That actually I wanted to ask you about, because I know you're obsessed with this movie. What is the time jump? Is she like is it like Superman Returns kind of thing? Like, is she, where is she between the 90s and like the events of Infinity War? Like, where did she go?
I assume we'll find out. I don't know.
What would you guess? Like, why is it?
I would guess that she does some kind of thing where she goes out into space or something and says, like, I'll see you. Like, call me when you need me or something.
She goes back to find her home planet of Krypton, if anything's left there.
Well, Kree, but yes. But, yeah, I mean, I surmise, or I assume by the end of this movie, or she's going to go into some kind of because I don't know why she doesn't age either.
Like but sleep chamber, or does her powers keep her like looking young? That's maybe, always a possibility. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
But whatever it is, she obviously tells Nick Fury how to get in touch with her and says, call me when you really need me. Like, dire. Like, it has to be, like, only call me if it's, like, super, like, crazy. And then Nick Fury felt that was it. This
Do
is
you
the
think
time.
We're going to get some sort of, maybe not in the next Avengers movie, but in, like, Captain Marvel 2, like, some sort of, like, Captain America thing too, where she's missed 20 years of stuff happening and needs
I don't
to
know.
Used
yeah,
to having a self like, an yeah. iPhone or podcast or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. That'll be interesting.
She has her own little list. It's like,
yeah,
learn what like a podcast is.
Nirvana, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Nirvana. All that stuff.
Yeah.
That,
yes. I like Star Wars.
I know, like
that could stay in there because, like, of the prequels.
Yeah, all
and then,
the new Star Wars
and all the new Star.
Wait,
Wars.
There's more Star Wars. They should probably do that. Disney owns them anyway, so they
yeah. Do you think he frees the slaves this time?
Wait a minute. Yoda fights? I thought he was just a puppet.
What other good stuff?
Could I don't know. Be? Yeah, between 1996. I think it's in 1996. Yeah, I mean, there's tons of good stuff. I mean, I can imagine, man, she says, like, Trump. Oh, my God. Like, can you imagine if you told somebody in 1996 okay. that Donald Trump be okay. president? They'd be like, shut
Ronald
the fuck
Reagan?
Up.
Ronald Reagan? The actor?
Ronald Reagan? The actor? Yeah. Like, you mean the guy? The fucking douche with the weird hair and the... But so somebody was trying to point out like all like the things now, because this is what people do. This is like nerdy people. This is what they do. They're like, well, if it takes place in 1996 and Nick Fury was just a desk jockey, but he supposedly met Howard Stark in 1991 in Civil War. And, you know, I mean, like they or whatever. You know what I mean? Like there's all this. They, you know what I mean? Now they're going to try to like
it's poke just like
holes
comic
in
books.
The whole
it
thing. Yeah, it is. It's like comic books.
Sense.
It's just like. It's the same thing with
readjust things. Over
yeah,
time.
Whatever. So one throwaway line, and now you're suddenly like no. making everything like, oh, we have to. Oh, geez, now this movie's wrong. It's like
there's already. I mean, if you go back to the you know, Ed Norton Hulk and how the Avengers got assembled, and like there's not like there's sort of a through line, but some of the stuff's contradictory. It just happens.
Right.
How
like,
many fucking movies have they made? I mean, come on.
I know. And then, yeah, because there's like a line in Iron Man
and
2 or something, right? Where he like throws like, the shield, like he has Captain America's shield just like lying around.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, like before they brought back Steve Rogers or whatever. You know, I mean, yeah, it's just, yeah, get over it. Who cares? But like, yeah. You know, this is what happens. People go on Reddit and they go like,
not all the writers like of the is there's a new writing team every movie.
Right.
There's going to be some like, dialogue. Or, like, there's probably stuff in like Thor the Dark World that, you know. Oh, there was
yeah,
that.
I remember. Because nobody remembers Thor the Dark World.
There was a guy, the actor that plays Natalie Portman's like boyfriend in an interview recently was like, oh, I forgot I was in that movie. Somebody was asking him about
He's really
it.
Funny. Like, I love that guy.
Yeah, he was in Bridesmaids too, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really funny. I forgot I was in that movie. Oh, that's sad. It wasn't that bad, was it?
I like that.
I think
movie.
It was okay.
I mean, Christopher Evans in it. And,
for like 2 seconds.
And I don't know. It's yeah, I like. I don't know.
No,
I
mean,
it's like,
fine.
Funny
it's,
enough. And
yeah.
I liked how.
It's watchable.
What's the name of the professor there? He was like
Selvig.
Yeah, Selvig was like, you know, like walking around with no pants or whatever.
Yeah, he was like going crazy.
He's going crazy, and there was a cool Stan Lee cameo.
Well, they're all cool.
They are all cool.
But yeah, it's yeah. There's plenty of things. If you really wanted to go through all 18 movies, you could probably find little things to contradict the others. But like. Yeah, get over
they
it.
They sure do have DC beat, I tell you that. None of that stuff makes any sense. And now, but, you know, to their credit, somehow the Wonder Woman movie is going to be in the 80s, and that's going to have to make sense somehow. And they're going to have to make sense of having Chris Pine in it and all that.
Yeah, how's that going to work? He's dead. He died in the 40s. He died in the 20s. He died in like 1914 or whatever, right? Or 1918 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end of World War One, right? Oh, my God, so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Who cares?
Who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Who cares?
Well, but yeah, but I read this article because I read like a lot. I'm trying to read like, you know, as much Captain Marvel stuff as I can. And they're like, oh, well, you know, Nick Fury, it's highly doubtful that he would have been just a desk jockey who looked like he's about to retire. I was like, you haven't even seen the movie yet, for one thing. You don't even know.
You don't even know.
But and then somebody else, because like they make them look younger. They make Samuel Jackson and Clark Gregg look like younger.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's like they do that all the time. I mean, get over it now. All right. I mean, just hey, Clark Gregg probably loves it. He's like, hey, you gave me some hair.
Yeah.
But anyways, anyway, the point is, thank you for sending that to me, because that was...
I thought it was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
Somebody, like, one of the comic book sites, like, posted it, and I was like, I gotta check this out.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And you can, like, punch out, like, the scroll old lady that keeps popping her head in.
I'm very excited. Game. I got my tickets!
Did you read Batman number 64?
Oh, I haven't read that yet. I'm sorry.
In this case, it doesn't... I'm not going to yell at you. I'll tell you. I guess I'll give you a heads up because you want me to do that. It's not in the Tom King storyline. They're doing a crossover with The Flash. So it's written by Flash writer Josh Williamson. And Guillaume March, who's a pretty awesome Batman artist, is on it. Nice. So they're taking a break from... So if you were liking what Tom King was doing, or if you wanted to take a break as well from him, for a couple issues, we got a crossover with The Flash. So I thought it was kind of weird, though, because I thought Tom King was trying to do 100 issues straight. So
yeah,
it's weird that he's taking a little break. Not like bad, I guess, but just...
Well, maybe after that last issue, he was like, oh, shit, I need to take a break because that issue sucked.
Yeah.
That sucked. But Tom. I loved almost everything he had done so far. Like, he'd been doing really well on Batman.
This is more like a Flash comic starring Batman, but I don't mean that in a bad way. It's good. It's like kind of tying into like Heroes in Crisis, and there's some Justice League action in here, and there's lots of fights, and it's like the artwork is reminiscent of like a really action packed like David Finch, like kind of like just lots of punches being thrown, action.
Punches. All
the Flash running around. And Gotham. You remember the Gotham boy or the Gotham and the girl and her brother?
It's like, yeah.
They show up at the end. So.
Oh, very good. I see.
I remember this guy Guillaume March was drawing Batman back when Grant Morrison was writing it, and he's pretty fucking cool, man. It's cool.
Oh yeah, the name is very familiar.
It's really cool. Let's see if he inked himself. It looks like he did too. Yeah.
Oh, very well.
So it's very cool. This superhero art that I know you like, you know?
I do like superhero art, yes.
Yeah, this is that kind of style. And also, there was this unheralded, really awesome 100-page Superman book that was written by Marv Wolfman that they weren't ever going to release. They released it as a 100-page giant, and it's kind of like his just all-star Superman. It's like his like origin of Superman, but it's mostly told through Clark's eyes, and it was really good. So it was just like a good, like, you know, when he first moves to Metropolis and like all the problems that he runs into, like kind of like the Peter Parker thing where he's like in a shitty apartment and he doesn't have a job yet, you
know? Nice.
So it's cool. I like those kind of stories.
Yeah.
When he first meets Lois and they show him like when he first puts the Superman suit on as Superboy and stuff like that. So I really liked it. It's Marv Wolfman, you know, legendary writer, cool dude. Yeah, but I wish that DC like told people that this was even coming out, because like I got it to review it, but I hadn't heard about it until it kind of like basically came out. You know, like they should have been like, yo, check out this new cool Superman story.
But yeah, that's kind of weird.
It was kind of weird.
Kind of weird.
And this is and weird that they didn't make it like they could have easily made it like a hardcover, like graphic novel, but they did like a oversized like annual, basically. So
yeah, that's weird. I don't
know what's up with that? But it was great. Oh, well, very well. Yeah. Go ahead.
I got one more thing that I can talk about if you
want. Yeah, do it.
There's so this Jinx World stuff that we've been talking about a lot, or I've been talking about. I've been enjoying all of it. One of them ended the United States of Murder Incorporated. It's called
Bendis. Oh, is he doing like volumes? And, like
yeah, yeah. But some of them are going like extended. This one is ending at 6, and then he's going to do like a different book, sort of in the same world. But so this one, it's him and Michael Avon Oeming.
Okay. Powers so, crew.
Yeah, yeah, the Powers crew. So what it is like it's this mob sort of story. In this world, the mob is like there's like 5 mob families that control like all of the United States, and they have like different areas. So anyways, this one kid, he gets born, and when he becomes an adult, like on his birthday, he becomes like a made guy, you know, like, and he's been in the family the whole time, you know, like, you know, Goodfellas, whatever, you're a made guy.
Yeah. So Tommy's about to get made.
Yeah. He's going to make him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So anyways, he finds out on that day, like that he was born as like to be an undercover federal agent who is now inside the mob, like infiltrating the mob. And he didn't know this whole time. He's like, yeah, this guy's in my family. It's great. And I'm like, oh, well, so you're actually supposed to be working for the federal government. Like you were.
He was born?
Yeah, you were like they like literally his mom literally like had him as to be a like an inside, you know, like a mole.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Mole.
So he's got to be the inside person and kind of give information to the feds. But meanwhile, he's kind of torn because he's like, these are my, you know, this is my family. So
my people.
Anyways, one of the people in his, she's like the best hitman in the world. She like assassinates the president. He's there right there. And he's kind of like, oh my God. Like, so that was like, so now he's kind of on the run from, because
wow.
The feds are like, why did you let her do that? And so it's like, then the world is kind of, or the country is kind of crumbling because there's no president. And the vice president is supposed to take over, but he doesn't want to because he's afraid of the mob is going to kill him. So he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to be president. And so, anyways, it comes down. And like so there's like this kind of war breaks out just over all this stuff. It's all chaos and whatever. And so finally, this is the last issue, and this guy he has this chat with his mom. His mom's like in the hospital because they got attacked or whatever. And she tells him the whole story about like, you know, how he was born to be in, you know, or whatever, a mole. And he ends up like turning on her and siding with the family. And like, so now he's gonna go. He's gonna be like, sort of in charge, and they're gonna go fuck some shit up. So. It was pretty cool. I don't know. If you like Powers, if you like Bendis stuff, you might want to wait for the trade. It was only 6 issues.
Right.
But I thought it was kind of an interesting little thing. Cool. It was a different kind of a mob story.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like the way that guy draws.
Yeah. He's really got a distinct style. You know what I mean? It's really different.
Nice.
So, I don't know.
Maybe I tried to read Powers a few times and... Yeah,
it was hard for me too, but this one, it was different.
I've gotten probably like 3 different Powers number ones. They're all different.
Yeah, I can't tell which one now is which series. But I don't know. Or if you ever see, if they ever have like a Comixology like sale or something, you know, and you can pick this up on the cheap, I would, it might be worth your time for 6 issues.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So, yeah, there we go. That's about all I read today. But,
very good.
Very well. Yeah. So
I got Conan the Barbarian number 3. I don't really know why. This is basically like Jason Aaron's Thor comic. But
I don't really
Conan.
Know why.
It's not bad. It's cool. It's exactly what you expect. Conan.
Cajonan?
Cajonan.
Like his cojones?
I saw some interesting, I don't know which, was it in the Daredevil book? I was like, why is this book so thick? Oh yeah, we gotta talk about some of the upcoming ads.
Oh man, yeah.
So Avengers is crossing over with Conan the Barbarian somehow. Okay. Avengers No Road Home. There's three Conan books for some reason.
Yeah, what's that about? That's a lot of Conan.
Okay, Meet Who's the this? Skrulls number one.
Yeah, now we have a Skrulls book. I guess that's because Captain Marvel is, you know, like, going to have Skrulls in it.
Yeah.
So they want to, like, oh, that's
fun. Maybe they'll do, like, the thing like they did with Tom King's The Vision. It'll just be, like, a fun Skrulls book. Spidey has Kraven the Hunter storyline coming up, and that'll be cool.
I guess. No, I guess it's fine. You're right. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. But they're doing this whole War of Realms thing. That's like the big thing that's happening, I guess, soon, huh? It's like a Thor thing. I don't think I'll be buying that, to be perfectly honest.
I don't think I will either. I think I'll read, you know, in future me, we'll get Marvel Comics Unlimited and read Jason Aaron's, like, full Thor run when it's all over. Just like I watch all of Game of Thrones eventually.
That's how I'm going to deal with it. They're doing another Darth Vader book now, too. It's called Vader Dark Visions by Dennis.
I guess he's supposed to be, like, an anti-hero in that book.
He's on a horse with his lightsaber and a shield. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
So it's written by Dennis Hopeless Hallam. Did he drop the... Is he going by his regular name now? What's up with that?
I think, yeah, it's probably like a Clay Inferno situation. And I bet Marvel, maybe they were like, we need to start putting your real name on the book.
Your real name.
I don't know. I'm speculating. Maybe
it's his own choice. Speculating. Maybe it is.
Because Hopeless definitely sounds like, like punk rock.
It's a pseudonym, yes. Yeah, I wonder what's up with that. Eh, whatever.
Same guy.
I
liked his Avengers Battle World thing. That was awesome.
Yeah, he's all right.
All right.
That's about all I got.
Me too.
It's all I read, but I will, I'll check out that Batman. That's it for comics. Checking out
the X-Men Age of Marvel.
No, don't check that out. That's not good.
Oh, and look, another new book I saw an ad for was Gail Simone writing a team book led with Domino called Hot Shots. Maybe I'll give an issue one a shot of that, a Hot Shot. I'll check it out.
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know why you would even bother ending Domino to create a book with her and the other two people who were already in it. Who cares? But that's what Marvel does. So.
Yeah, it's probably not Gail Simone's fault.
No, I'm sure. I'm not blaming Gail Simone. They just don't like to go beyond 10 issues on anything.
Yeah.
It seems like. Maybe it wasn't selling. Who knows?
Yeah.
But people they're still started doing talking the book.
About it a lot when it came out, and then people stopped talking about it.
Yeah, but now they're still doing it. Like, they're still. It's basically the same book, just a different name.
A team book now.
Yeah, whatever. I'm sure it's fine. But, interesting stuff. Well, if you're into that, if you're into anything we talked about, go to leaguepodcast.com, and if you click on the links, and, you know, we get a little kickback. So do that. Help us out. And that's it. Very well, Clay.
Be seeing you.
Yeah.
Stay warm out there.
Yeah, stay warm out there. And be good to yourselves and each other.
Later, you fuck. But together we will stand, my friend. A war against the wind. 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 A war against the wind.
and they go, and it's like.